Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn. And for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we'll be discussing the theme of finding light in dark times. The world is certainly in a challenging place. And as we live our daily lives, we are all challenged to figure out how do we find our joy when things seem so chaotic in the external world. Today in the studio, I have Caitlin Stecker. She is a licensed social worker, a certified IFS therapist and trainer, and she has a practice here in Astoria, Oregon. Good morning, Caitlin.
Good morning, Donna.
I'm very happy you're here in the studio today.
It's great to be here with you again.
Yes, we've done some other programs on letting go, lots of different themes that are that are important to consider. And so here we are at the end of 2016. Mm-hmm. Before we talk a bit about this theme, please tell the listening audience about yourself.
Well, I think probably what I'd want people to know is that I really feel called to what I'm experiencing and doing in my life right now. And I feel very grateful. So I'm going to cry. Anyway, just to be able to be with people in each of their journeys. And I realized this morning when I woke up that it's like I get to be part of healing almost every day of my life. And I feel the sense of how actually I feel younger and younger. Of course, I'm also a Capricorn in astrology, and we're old when we're young and young when we're old, and I like that. And now really also feel called to be able to find ways to bring the healing and the awareness that I've been able to be a part of and receive from my teachers to this community. And I've been training therapists around the country. Our work is actually around the world. And parts work is something that has really made a difference in my life and the people that I've worked with. And I want to bring it out more into an understanding for people in everyday life without having to necessarily see themselves going into therapy or counseling or doing anything in that particular mode, but to understand how our systems work in a way so that we can be with each other in more loving, respectful, skillful ways.
Yes, understanding the biology of our bodies and how we react and function is really vital to all of this, because we're not just brains and heads. We have emotion, and there's a lot of angst in our country and in the world today about the times, about how things are, and people can become very fearful and very angry when they are watching the news. And
absolutely.
So how, during a time, this is 2016, a lot of people have said it's been a terrible year in many ways. Mm-hmm. What kinds of things do you say to people about, you know, how they can live during this kind of time? Because one of the best cartoons I've seen recently was a cartoon of two women walking on the street together and sidewalk, I guess. And one woman said to the other, "I'm torn between my desire to remain informed and my desire to remain sane."
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of find ourselves in a situation. Would you address that, please?
Yeah. Well, I remember back to one of my great teachers, Marion Woodman, who would counsel us, and this was 30 years ago even, to look at media, information, images as food. And to consider what we're taking in to our bodies by what we listen to and what we look at. And that we need to consider that if we are taking in a lot of stuff that is uncomfortable and distressing to our system, that that's actually like eating things that are actually painful and poisonous to the body. So that we need to really be very discerning about how much of that we take in, because it has an effect on us. And one of the effects, unfortunately, which a friend of mine who at one time in her life worked in advertising said, is that there is a theme in much advertising, which is to kind of create fear and anxiety and then give the remedy as whatever the product is that's trying to be sold. And so if we watch a lot of media, we're vulnerable to the experience of then trying to find the answer or something that's going to soothe that, which often then feels like we got to get more information, and what keeps us locked into that process. So the biggest thing at, really that I would say is look at it discerningly and make conscious, as much as possible, conscious choices about what you're taking in through your eyes and through your ears that is not happening right in front of you. And that's the biggest thing too. If you think about human history, our whole systems are designed to process pain and distress relationally with other people. Our brains are hardwired for connection. They're hardwired to actually resolve distress through a relationship and through connection with others. When we watch images of pain and suffering happening in other places in the world, we have no way to relationally process that. We just get the distress and the sense of angst, but no way that we can actually clear it from our bodies. So it's really, really important if we take that in, that you then, in any way you can, relationally process that. But not by the content, not by talking about the details so much. I mean, one has to reference that. But if you're going to kind of keep yourself fresh, if you're going to keep yourself sane or healthy, then you need to find people that you can share what the effect of that is on you, to see children in the refugee camps or the aftermath of a terrorist attack, to be able to speak to what it is that's been created in your own experience in your body with another person who you feel cared for by, and also that you have a sense of safety and connection with, so that that can actually get processed. And you can actually literally through that process go back to neutral in a sense of you're not carrying any of the wounding of that experience in your body anymore.
That's a great way to look at that, because I know that friends of mine will start talking about, did you see the latest on this, and what about this, and then and it's all about content.
Yeah.
But it's not about, I'm so afraid. Yeah. I feel so lost. I'm so worried about the environment, about our world, about our country. And that just perpetuates that the fear and anxiety is what you're saying.
Absolutely. And so recently at the solstice celebration that I do every year, part of what we shared together was a video that people can go to and just search for an Arab American. Let me just check. I want to make sure. Okay. An Arab American on the street corner. Would you trust him? That's the way to get to that video if you'd like to watch it. And what I love about it is that this man knew that he was feeling afraid in his life and created a way to help himself with that. And it's interesting because what he decided to do was stand on a street corner blindfolded. He was an Arab American, clearly of that origin. And he had a sign that basically said, I'm feeling scared. And would you help me by coming and hugging me or shaking my hand or taking a picture with me to let me know that I'm safe with you? And it was so brilliant because it was like he created his own self-healing experience by being able to. He put himself into fear, of course, by being blindfolded there. He felt some vulnerability, of course. But he actually then was able to experience people coming and meeting him in that and being with him. And when you watch the video, you'll see people basically saying to him, you're safe with me, as they hug him. It's very moving because to me, that is a representation of what I hope all people will do for themselves. Find a way to be in the feeling of distress that you're having with someone who can give you the experience of you're safe with me.
Well, in tribal cultures, of course, we had that, but now people sit alone in their homes, and you're right, they're absorbing all of this news and information, and then they feel hopeless and helpless.
Yeah.
One of the wonderful things that I discovered on the internet, and there are wonderful things on the internet as much as there are some pretty toxic things as well, but the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu have a new book out, The Book of Joy, and it's very similar to this theme of how do we find light in dark times, and they are saying, how do we live a life of joy in the face of adversity? And there are these wonderful Share the Joy videos, which actually make you laugh.
That's cool.
You know, which is great.
Yep.
And the Dalai Lama said just kind of what you said, to paraphrase. He said, people are drunk on negative emotions, which dominate their minds.
Yeah.
And then Desmond Tutu said, well, you know, start where you are. I mean, you on your own cannot resolve these big, messy problems. So do what you can where you can. And I think that's what you're saying. You yourself have to take care of your own emotions and your mental and physical health, because just coming from that fear and anxious place and being out in the world just perpetuates it.
Absolutely. And I mean, absolutely. And there can be conversations we have with people that actually, you know, get us even more distressed, that we feel more hopeless because now we've multiplied it by two or three or four or whatever. And I think we, you know, really, again, it's kind of like with the whole idea of taking in the media to recognize the effect of what we're experiencing on us. And if consistently we feel less than or hurt or dismissed or agitated when we experience a particular relationship or conversation or situation, then it's important to look at that and say, well, what is it that I'm giving to myself in this? What is this? And what's the effect on me? Because we're the only ones that can actually, you know, really know all of that for ourselves. Nobody else can come in and give us, you know, the advice about all of that. We have to be the ones to care for ourselves and learn what is it that nourishes me and nurtures me? What is it that depletes me? And if I continue in something that's depleting, then what is the motivation in that? And there can be important motivation in times of, you know, experiences of suffering. You're saying one of my great teachers right now, Richard Rohr, I just was reading something that he wrote about love. And he says, one always is able to learn about one's mystery, but only at the price of one's innocence. And so the idea that we are in a life that asks at times for us to suffer, that it is about this experience of learning about ourselves in a full way, not just through joy, not just through happiness and things going well, that actually life asks us also to engage with and accept and really learn from life's adversities. And in fact, he also says, until we love and until we suffer, then unfortunately, we try to figure things out through our mind. And our mind actually does not have the capacity to help us with suffering. It can come up with ideas about it. It can come up with theories and doctrines and philosophies. But the actual experience in our body of being in distress or suffering, again, takes relationship, takes connection to resolve.
It's just as, let's say that there is a personal suffering, you are depressed or you have lost a family member or your dog has died, something has happened that is huge for you. Then there is suffering in your family that doesn't maybe, and suffering in your community and suffering in the world. So you're saying that you have to think about your immediate environment and how you heal yourself in that way.
Yes, and also just the idea that many times in our particular society that we live in, we develop defenses, protectors, whatever you want to call them, aspects of us that take care of us by isolating us, that take us out of relationship. Because, of course, if we're not around people, we're not actually activated to feeling in the same way. Other people cause us often to feel distress or all kind of different feelings. They can make us feel great pleasure and ecstatic experience as well, of course. However, when we're in distress, we can have parts that say the way to take care of this is to isolate, to be around people less. That's really important to be aware of, that that is something that is part of our world now and our society. That's not true for how it's been in, as you said, tribal cultures. And it's not true for people who still live in relation to the earth and to the process of being in community and tribe. There, people come together when they're in distress and they help one another. Grief is not experienced in solitary experience. It's actually processed through being with others and in ritual and having that sense of being held by the community and witnessed at the wailing wall or in a grief ceremony where your experience is acknowledged and supported by others. That's what helps us heal and resolve. I mean, I just want to say, I actually also really support the idea of having times of being able to be quiet and with oneself and find oneself actually through that. But when we're in distress, I would ask everyone just to consider for a moment, is there any way to find some connection that might offer some balm, some way of really being with the pain that you're in, so that there is a chance for that to be worked through and resolved and healed.
And yes, and bring back the light. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today in the studio, I have Caitlin Stecker. Caitlin is a licensed social worker and a certified IFS therapist and trainer with a practice here in Astoria. We're talking about finding the light in dark times and how do we create joy when there are really challenging things. So, Caitlin, I think you said that there's a poem that you'd like to read, and
yeah,
that poetry, relational is meeting with people, being with people, sharing mm-hmm. things, and mm-hmm. being nourished in that way is very important. And also those times of just comforting yourself with a nice cup of tea and yeah. reading some poetry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And weird, maybe as it sounds, poetry is not of the mind. It's actually of the body and of the emotional brain, of the limbic brain. And I, you know, I love the mind. I have a very fun mind to be with. However, there's very little connection in the brain between the neocortex, the thinking mind, and the feeling mind, and the experience of sensation and feelings and emotions. And so we can think. It's why, you know, we can talk about and kind of joke about people being in analysis where they spoke and talked for 20 years about their process and basically still have the same kind of difficulties that they had when they began that process. They just can talk a lot about it. One has to connect with one's feelings in order to be able to heal them. And part of the difficulty is that often as children, our parents, they weren't able to be, they didn't get support in being with their own feelings and experiences, so they couldn't be with us. And so in that sense, we didn't get to learn this developmental process or experience, the development of our feeling mind, so that we could feel safe and regulated, that we wouldn't feel overwhelmed by what we were experiencing because someone was with us. But if no one was with us, then those emotions will scare our system and our whole system will be organized around not letting us go there. Poetry comes from those places.
That's what I'm hearing you say, is that when there is chaos around us, when we are, when it does seem like things are very dark, that's when we really need to nurture ourselves even more.
Yeah, absolutely. So this poem is from my new most favorite poet, M. Clare, and it's Home Remembers Me is the collection of poetry. And this particular poem is Life is Mostly Quiet. And so she starts right off with this line, believe me, you don't have to know. So she's just starting right off saying, it's not about knowing or having all the intellectual understanding. Believe me, you don't have to know. Not so much that you render yourself helpless. Helpless in the face of what life brings next. So make peace with knowing very little about love, about others, about how life should be. Make amends with how things are. And I almost feel like that's going to be my 2017 banner. Make amends with how things are. It's almost like forgive life for being what it is. And can you allow it to ask of you whatever it's asking of you? As painful and as difficult as that is, can you believe that there's some wisdom unfolding in whatever is? Because otherwise we struggle against what is, and it takes a lot of time and energy, and it doesn't really change anything. However, that's a rational idea. More is being able to just be with what is, but again, that has to do with having the experience of someone having been with you when things were difficult. Not knowing a thing, walk with gentle knees ready to drop to them at any moment that life dictates. Keep an empty hand so that it can be brought to your heart when grief arises. Make up a bed that you can fall into as your own comforting arms. We come to find that life is mostly quiet. It asks us to live our knowing while surrendering that very same thing. It vibrates easily around us, candid and benevolent. You see, it's only when we root ourselves solid in some knowing again that life seems to have to shout, rises lovingly from its whisper.
That's beautiful. What about this idea, though, of people saying, oh, if you are not informed, you're in denial, or if you're not active, and if you're not making a difference, and if you're not out there doing things, then you're not going to change things. And you need to be vigilant because, you know, bad things can happen if you're not on top of it and if you're not out there doing things.
Well, I guess what I would say is that if we really, really look at all of the impactful that we know of, processes, what's consistent in them is authenticity and a sense of congruency for the person with what they were doing. And it's really the story of the rainmaker that is often, given that, you know, this person who was a rainmaker who was invited to an area where there was drought, and people would wonder, how in the world does this person do this? He has a reputation, or she, for the rain comes. Well, really, what the rainmaker does is what, in a sense, each of us are called to, which is he just comes and, or he or she, and just deeply goes into him or herself and just becomes congruent, just becomes authentically real in that moment. And then if it's the balance of nature, the rain comes. So to me, it's not about any particular action, because some people are called to action, and that's really important if that's their calling. But there are other people. I mean, Gandhi basically in many ways was just really powerfully able to be in himself wherever he was. And because of it, it did mobilize a lot of other people to do things. But Gandhi often wasn't that active. He was actually just being himself, weaving and being with the people that he loved. But it was a powerful force for change and for balancing the world.
That is well said. You have mentioned Richard Rohr, who's an incredible writer. And I wanted to also tell listeners again about the Book of Joy and the Joy videos that you can watch online with Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama. I also just read a book called On Living by a hospice chaplain, Carrie Egan, which is a fabulous, brilliant little book, which really does address exactly what you said. When people are dying, they're talking about their relationships. Relationships. Yes, right. Cultivate your relationships.
Yep.
That will help bring joy back in you and in them as well.
Yeah. So one of the things I'm thinking of, you and I were talking about this, but I am feeling a bit called to some action, and that is that I'm just going to kind of continue to feel into this idea of perhaps doing something in our community around how do we cultivate relationships that are healing for us, and just some ways of working in some larger kind of groups where we can say we're committed to healing in our lives. And what does that mean relationally?
Well, we will look forward to hearing about that. Any last things that you would like to tell the listening audience about finding light in dark times? Sounds like we need to work on ourselves first.
Yeah, well, there's, I think what I was talking about, making amends with life as it is, you know, we don't need to call suffering to our life. Most of us have an adequate amount to work with. But to be able to recognize that if we have let ourselves really suffer, if we have been able to grieve, that often we can look back and see that those are the times we felt the most connected, the most held, and that there's a way in which life actually brought us closer to a sense of being loved and cared for in those moments if we can open to them. So I would just hope that we could all together help one another with that this isn't just about managing a life so it all goes well, that of course, we have parts that want to take care of us that way. They want to be able to try to keep us from getting hurt. But if they keep us from loving and being in relationship, then the price is too high.
Exactly. And we can't live for the external world. We must focus on the internal world. The poet Rumi said, move from within, move from within.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't let the outside world push you around. I think a lot of people are feeling pushed around by the news, which has become a huge dominant force in everyone's lives these days. So, Caitlin, thank you so much for being here today and for your wisdom. And I look forward to having you on the show again in 2017.
Yes. It's a 1 year, by the way. You know, we're at the end of the cycle, a 9 year, and 2017, numerologically, is a one. So there is a beginning energy.
Yes, a brand new year, beginning. Thank you so much. I didn't know that. That's awesome. And one last little thing. I just discovered this lovely little proverb, which is, just when the caterpillar thought the world was over, it became a butterfly. Thank you all so much listening to this program. And Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, it's fabulous to see you here in the studio. Also, my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's healing, healing on every level, healing for mind, body, and spirit. And then with gratitude, focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that don't go well. However, you can put your focus of attention on the things that are going well with gratitude, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, the only one, for doing the best you can. You are. And for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.